If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The SEC being the strongest conference in baseball by a good margin, too. Knowing that I've seen that and had success at that level is comforting for sure.
Hot Cheese is back. Scotty Braun and J.J. Cooper plus Ben Badler from Baseball America. It is great to see both of you gentlemen. And we do this live every week, 3 o'clock Eastern time on the Baseball America YouTube channel. And if you're watching afterward or listening afterward, join us sometime, say hello, ask a question, and if it's a good one, we'll answer it. So before we start today, I do want to let everyone know that we've got a pretty VIP guest joining us pretty soon. And that is Charlie Condon, number 3 overall pick in this past draft by the Colorado Rockies. And obviously a total stud in college for Georgia. So we're excited to chat with him. And I mentioned that also because we will try and get a question or two in there for Charlie from the chat here in YouTube. So if you have something for Charlie that you would like to ask, then please let us know. The only way we wouldn't ask it if it's a good question is if J.J. Cooper already had it in his own question bank. But then we can maybe make it like it's yours.
We'll credit them still. You know, we'll just a question we were going to ask. We'll still give you credit.
There you go. Exactly. So anyway, before we get to first move, J.J., I want to make sure we get some love to the latest edition of Baseball America. So do you want to give us a little sneak peek of what to expect and why people should get a subscription to BA if they don't have one?
So Bobby Witt Jr. is our cover, which pretty good timing for that considering the monster month. We actually were planning to have him on the cover before he hit almost 500 in July, but it's our best tools issue where we gather the best tools, best hitter, best power, best fastball, best speed, all those tools for the big leagues, but also for every full season minor league as well. So a ton of that. We also have a ton of other stuff in there. We also have a retrospective on the 2019 draft in that first round, which, man, it looks so special just a few years later. So a lot to be in there. Double issue. It's jam-packed, and it is gone to the printer today. So if you order it at baseballamerica.com, it'll be shipped to you very shortly.
Well done. And yeah, make sure you go get yourself a copy or a subscription, and let's get to first move.
Meep, meep.
It is time for the Junior Caminero Show to continue. Ben Badler, let's bring you in here too. So Junior is entering the fold for the second time, technically. Got just a tiny, like teacup in the big leagues towards the end of last year. But your thoughts on Canero entering the show for the Rays, and also people can, you know, watch a lot more on the prospect profile that we did. But wanted to get you to jump in here since you weren't part of that video.
Yeah, Junior Caminero, he has top of the scale raw power. You're going to see elite exit velocities up there with the best hitters in baseball. It's a ton of bat speed. Now, it is an aggressive swing. It comes with some length to the swing, but he has so much bat speed that if he gets to a pitch, I mean, even if it's not a mistake pitch, I mean, he'll hit balls that are out of the strike zone, out of the ballpark. He'll hit balls to, you know, left field, obviously to the pole side, deep pole shots, but you know, he'll hit balls to right field like he's a left-handed hitter too. So curious to see how exactly the approach translates immediately, but I think long-term he's going to figure it out and has a chance to be a, you know, potential 40-plus home run type threat down the road.
And I'm just glad that we're finally seeing him back on the field healthy. This has kind of been a little bit of a lost season for Caminero. Had a quad injury that sidelined him early in the year. They tried to come back, and then he spent some more time on the IL. The Rays had to really kind of shut him down for a while to make sure that that injury fully healed. I don't know that we're ever this year going to see 100% what you expect to see out of Junior Caminero, because that injury really has kind of derailed the season. But you're going to get a nice little taste of it, because this guy, as Ben said, has some of the best pure power in the game. And this kind of gets his feet wet. Hey, the Rays aren't completely out of it right now, but this also gets him really well established to be kind of a cornerstone guy for this club for 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, I know Rays fans are super pumped. They've been talking about him all year. Some of his fans were hoping to see him at the start of the season, but whatever. It's not the dream year for Tampa Bay. They did a lot of selling at the deadline, but this is the next great wave here. Let's get to Zebby Matthews. And JJ, you can kick things off as he's going to make his debut against Seth Lugo for the Twins. So your thoughts, just really, you know, give us all the information you have on him. And did you expect to see him this season?
Yes, I will say, at least now, I would say yes, we did expect to see this. We actually did on July 31st. The trade deadline cleared, and we said, here are eight players who are in the minors we think could provide a post-trade deadline impact with call-ups, and Zebby was one of those guys. And the reason we highlighted him is because normally when you talk about young, really elite pitching prospects, and I would put Zebby Matthews in that category, you're usually talking about guys who throw hard, who have nasty breaking ball, you know, a really good changeup, but you're not sure if the control and the command is there yet. It's going to have to catch up usually. In the case of Zebby Matthews, the stuff keeps getting better, but the command and the control is already there. It's the best command and control, I would argue, probably in the minor leagues. He walks no one. The stat that blows me away is he doesn't get to a three ball count very often, but if he does, 92% of the time he throws a strike, which kind of tells you one thing right there. Like, you may say, okay, well, yeah, he's trying to throw a strike. It's a three ball count. Most pitchers can't do that. Most pitchers don't have that kind of zone control where they can be in the zone that often when they face, you know, when they're behind in the count. And by the way, normally when we talk about guys with this kind of, you know, control, command, and coming up through the minors, you're usually talking about a guy that's like, well, he's 91, 92. You hope there's going to be a little bit more there. Zebby can sit 95, can touch 97, 98. There are secondaries here. He does have an idea of how to pitch. He's a rookie coming up, making a start in a kind of key situation in a, you know, in a big series. So you don't ever want to say, oh, this is a slam dunk, because you can't even say that for veteran pitchers. But I do feel very good about Zebby Matthews' chance to kind of be more ready than most rookies making their debut, their major league debut, which is a pretty remarkable story, because this is yet another kind of, you know, later mid-round, late-round Twins pitching find. They've had so much success in recent years of finding these day two and day three college pitchers, usually getting them a little bit more velo after they draft them, and then see them kind of emerge and develop. And credit to the Twins, they need something like that, because obviously they've been kind of ravaged by injuries recently.
Yeah, checking out some video here of Zebby touching almost 98 in this outing when he went 5 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts, took down 15 of the last 17 batters that he faced for the St. Paul Saints. Now he'll bring that talent up to the show against Seth Lugo. So if you want to play up to some competition, it's one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. So it should be fun. Anyway, We'll enjoy that. Let's get to our guest joining us right now, special guest on Hot Sheet, number 3 overall pick by the Colorado Rockies this year, working his way through the minor league system right now and was a star over at Georgia. Charlie Condon joining us right now. Charlie, great to have you on. How you doing, man? It's been a little bit of a whirlwind last couple months, hasn't it?
Yeah, what's up, guys? How are y'all? I appreciate y'all having me on. It's been good. You know, it's been good to, you know, after the draft happened, to get out and join up with the organization and get to put some names to faces and things like that. But it's been good getting settled in.
Charlie, for one, I just got to say, it's always good to talk to a fellow Bulldog. I'm a UGA or, you know, UGA grad, but many, many years ago now. But so go dog. but congratulations, you know, on the last couple of years at Georgia. But you obviously, it's been told a lot of times, but you've kind of had a fascinating path here. And I think kind of is one that's kind of inspiring if you're, you know, if you're a player, kind of a younger player coming up. If you could just kind of tell people a little bit of your high school to college story and kind of how it did you, I guess the way I'd ask it is when you were coming out of high school, did you know that you had this in you and it just people needed to realize it? Or was it something where even you had to kind of realize that you had a chance to be one of the best players in college baseball?
Yeah. So for me, my recruiting process is obviously very different from most people's, but for me, it was about knowing that my timeline was going to be different from your average D1 commit. You know, like growing up playing high level travel ball in an organization like 6-4-3, and you're playing against guys and with guys that have boatloads of D1 offers and have SEC schools chomping at the bit on their phone and stuff like that. So for me, it was a lot of people look at where I am now and are like, man, how did people miss? But for me, it was more so that I wasn't really ready to be recruited at the time that a lot of recruiting happens these days. So like my sophomore year of high school, I was still playing football. I was a two sport kid in high school. So I had limited fall ball experience to get seen. So it was really just about trusting that I was going to grow late, which I did my junior and senior year, and knowing that just being able to compete with guys that were bigger and more physical than I was when I was younger, just knowing that I was going to eventually grow into my body and have a shot. So a lot of that took faith in myself and being able to buy into that process, but then also the people around me that continued to buy in to that process with me and help me get seen, because there were some people in my corner in high school that helped me get looks that I wouldn't have had the opportunity at Georgia if it wasn't for them.
Charlie, Ben Bathler here. Thanks for joining us on the show today. You talked about your recruiting process and, like you said, going up against, you know, learning to face guys who are bigger and stronger than you when you first got to Georgia. But throughout your college career, what were some of the biggest adjustments that you feel like you made, especially as a hitter, from when you walked on campus to, you know, to where you are today?
Yeah, kind of the difference of being a swinger versus being a hitter. You know, like a guy that can get a good swing off on a pitch if it's given to him. But what you learn very quickly in the SEC and in a lot of high-level college baseball is that good pitches to hit don't just really fall in your lap. You kind of got to be able to go out there and have the discipline to work them and work for them. And then once you get them, not missing them. So it just is a lot of reps as far as being able to get muscle memory down and then being able to execute when an opportunity falls in your lap. So I would just say the ability to have discipline to get yourself in good leverage counts, and then also understanding that baseball is something that's really hard to do no matter how good you think you are, how good people think you are, just knowing that it's a game of failure and just taking everything in stride.
Hey, Charlie, I want to fast forward to the draft. So, you know, many people thought you're the best player in the class. He's going to go number one. That's not always how the draft works, which is tough to explain sometimes to casual fans. But then everyone's like, well, if he doesn't go one, he's definitely going two. You end up going three to Colorado. So now that it's passed, you got drafted, you signed, you're in the minors. What can you share with us about the play-by-play of what was going through your brain during that whole process? You know, were you on the phone with other teams? Did you think that you were going to go two? Like, tell us anything that you can give us on the inside.
Yeah, for me, it was just about getting with my people and getting with my family and really sitting down and deciding what we wanted. For me, it wasn't make or break. I want to go first overall or nothing else. Like, for me, it was just about finding an opportunity with an organization that wanted to be with me as much as I wanted to be with them. And so when all that was boiled down to it, Colorado was a great fit. You know, just as far as being able to end up in this organization that does well with power hitting. And obviously people talk about hitting at Coors Field and things like that, which obviously we've got some work to do before we get there. But just knowing that this is a good system to be in, an organization that's on the rise, got a lot of good talent, young talent coming up through it. And I think the best days ahead are coming for the Rockies.
I like that. All right. I've been told we have a fan question to mix in here too, as many are watching on Baseball America's YouTube channel. Here's Wesley. How does Charlie feel about fielding every day in that massive outfield in Denver when he gets to the show? What do you think? What do you know about it?
Yeah, no, it's a big yard. You know, it kind of has to be with how the ball flies up there. And so it's a good challenge, you know, to be able to learn how the ball flies out there, and obviously from the hitting side of things, but also defensively. I mean, ball's going to hang up in the air a long time. You got a lot of room to cover out there. So it's just a good challenge for me to get better at my first steps and reads and things like that. It's something that I'm looking forward to continuing working on and getting better at.
Charlie, I love that he asked about fielding, because I guess I would also ask about, you know, how fun is it going to be to hit in Coors Field as a slugger. But I did want to kind of touch on the fielding, because you played a lot of different positions at Georgia. You played pretty much kind of all over the field. Is that kind of something, like, do you feel comfortable kind of bouncing around, or is there a position where you're like, you know, at the end of the day, I feel most comfortable when I'm playing X?
Yeah, no, it's something I've taken a lot of pride in as being a guy, especially starting this year with my last year at college, just being someone that can move around and not be stuck and glued to one spot in the lineup every day. Being a guy that takes pride in being able to play multiple spots and be a moving piece within a lineup is something that I'm looking forward to doing as long as I can. It's something that keeps me going in practice and gives me things to work on all the time. You know, you can never be too good of a defender. And so when you're bouncing around and going back and forth from the infield to the outfield, it gives me a lot of things to keep sharp.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true from even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got two dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/baseball. I don't know about you, but I love fall. Fall is a time where the weather just feels perfect from the start of the day to the end. It's a great time for me to get on a bike, take a good long ride where it's nice and crisp, not cold, but crisp. And it's time for new fall traditions, like getting regular hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do. And they've combined their popular peach flavor with the highly requested blackberry to awaken your senses and keep you coming back for more. Liquid IV makes my workouts more enjoyable. It's really easy to prep. I just take my water bottle, fill it with water, some ice, pour in the Liquid IV, stir it up. It's ready to go. It gives me better hydration than I would if I was just using water. It's something that just makes those bike rides even more enjoyable than they were before. Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers energy comparable to 1 to 2 cups of coffee through about 100 milligrams of naturally occurring caffeine. Experience the deliciousness of one of our best-selling flavors, peach, perfectly paired with the highly requested blackberry. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Eight essential vitamins and nutrients. Always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall tradition with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BA2022 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BA2022 at liquidiv.com.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Well, taking it back to hitting, Charlie, I mean, two of the biggest stories this year, both in the draft and just in college baseball, were you and Jack Caglione, two, you know, 6'5", 6'6", big power hitters, although both of you guys, I mean, you had almost as many home runs as you had strikeouts, and Jack was another guy who obviously hit for a ton of power while limiting his strikeouts as well. You know, as a 6'6", as a really tall hitter, are there certain checkpoints that you have in your swing or things that you try to be cognizant of or other hitters that you're trying to model your offensive game after that, you know, maybe some smaller, you know, 5'10", 5'11" hitters maybe don't have to be as cognizant of when they're at the plate?
Yeah, for sure. Just being a taller guy and having longer levers is kind of the term that's used a lot. Is it can play to your advantage if you know how to use it. So for me, it was about being really good at learning how to use it to my advantage and not letting it tie myself up. Like, there's a lot of things that you have to get down when you've got long arms and things like that. It can create a long swing. It can create just casting and coming around the ball and stuff like that. So for me, it was about learning to use my levers on the back end of my swing and using my extension as an advantage, but while also keeping things short and tight and compact to my body in the first half of my swing. So just being able to be close to my back shoulder and still have a direct path to the ball, even with my long arms. And then once that barrel kind of turns and gets out front, the extension and my length that way also just helps me stay on the ball longer, be on plane longer and hit for more. Just keep the ball keep the ball in play and handle the barrel better as well.
Hey, Charlie, what is the ETA for you in the show, whether it's something you've talked to the team about or in your head, and keeping in mind how the game has changed? I mean, we'll see some players that had strong college careers move through the ranks pretty quickly. I mean, you know, Christian Moore, who you probably know pretty well, is part of an organization that calls players up very quickly in the Angels. But any insight either on what you've talked to the team about or what you have in your head?
Yeah, for me, you know, there's not a lot of talk about that within the organization. For me, it's just about day at a time. That's when I play my best baseball. So right now, I'm focused on the game that we got at 6:35 tonight. And so I'll play that game, and then I'll wake up tomorrow and play another one. And so we'll just continue to be the best version of myself every day that I can be. And then that kind of ETA and path to the show will take care of itself as long as I'm focused on what's in front of me.
Kind of going back with that, Charlie, you mentioned about your travel team and then you obviously playing in the SEC. It seems like, how well prepared do you feel like you were when you jumped into pro ball? Obviously it's just a few games now, but kind of sure. Watching and looking at some of the guys you faced in the SEC this last couple of years, you kind of got I would imagine, a pretty good taste of what you're facing in pro ball, because you were facing, especially on Friday, Saturday nights, guys who, you know, some of whom are basically knocking on the door of big leagues right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that there's no other conference in college baseball that can prepare you better for professional baseball, from at least what I've seen so far. You know, I'm a firm believer in the SEC being the strongest conference in baseball by a good margin too. And so just knowing that I've seen that and had success at that level is comforting for sure. So just knowing that just because I've had success there doesn't mean I'll have success at every level I get to.
We'll let you jump. We'll let you go get ready for the game. Appreciate the time. We'll have you back. Keep doing your thing out there. And thanks for joining us. All right, Charlie Condon with us on BA Hot Sheet. That was great. I just had the fun stuff for the finish line, you know, paying for team dinners and who's giving you the VIP phone call when you get the call from the Rockies, you know, is Todd Helton calling, somebody like that. So anyway, it was really good getting into the granular components of the positioning and the, obviously, you know, being a big dude and what he brings to the table. But any thoughts, anything you learned, JJ, that stood out? I don't know if you've interviewed Charlie before. I know you've seen him, obviously.
Actually, the first time I've gotten to talk to him. And the thing that does jump out that I think is kind of notable is when you talk about a mature approach, him knowing when he was a sophomore, when he was a junior in high school, hey, I'm going to get there, but I need to be patient. I need to not try to speed this up faster. There aren't a whole lot of guys who redshirt for a year and then emerge like he did, but there's not a whole lot of guys who are comfortable just coming in and redshirting and knowing that that's part of the plan. And that was something that really does jump out with Charlie Condon is I think that benefited him. He got bigger, he got stronger, and you see what the benefits are. He was our freshman of the year, you know, for his first season on the field at Georgia, and he was our college player of the year in his second year. And here he is as one of the top, picks, and really one of the top prospects in all of baseball already in major league, you know, professional baseball. So you put all that together, patience paid off for Charlie Condon.
And I would agree here, Ben. Angelo saying, good kid. He'll be up in the show pretty quick. And Smokey saying, love Charlie. Cleveland missed out. Well, that's where I get interested in storylines, Ben, is you look at a player like this. There were many that said they thought he's the top talent in the draft, and he ends up going three. And it's hard to conceptualize for people outside of baseball how the system works, right? And sometimes the people that are not as tuned in to how bonus pool money works might actually be correct. If Charlie Condon ends up being the next big superstar in Major League Baseball, then you can forget about all of the finagling with later in the draft and say, damn, we missed out on the best player or best hitter in the draft if you're a fan, say, of Cleveland or of Cincinnati. Sometimes it just comes down to that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're saying Cleveland missed out. To me, the team that missed out was Cincinnati, picking second overall, because for us, yeah, we had Charlie Condon one on our board, but it was kind of like a 1A, 1B with Condon and Travis Bazzana. I love Chase Burns, but I think if I'm Cincinnati, it'd be real hard to pass up on a guy like Charlie Condon, who could be a middle of the lineup force for years to come, especially given that those two guys, him and Chase Burns, right? Like, they signed for the same bonus. Again, I love Chase Burns. I'd rather have Charlie Condon.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel the same way. So it's going to be fun. We're going to track careers. That's what we do here. We're going to track careers. We'll always remember this storyline. Let's get to Holiday Adventure, because I actually have a question that still ties Condon into the conversation. So let's hop on board. So we've been following Jackson Holliday in his wild ride this year that ends up back in the show. He's thriving right now, JJ. So he's fine. Don't worry. Just a little 10-game hiccup in the bigs like many young superstars deal with when they're early on in their big league career. But, you know, in addition to telling us what you've seen from him in the bigs now, JJ, I wanted to just mix in the fact that, you know, Condon could be the top prospects, according to Baseball America's list, by next year, right? All these guys are kind of moving their way up and getting off the list.
So it is kind of fascinating. By the way, I will start with Holliday. The thing that really impresses me is when you see a guy struggle in that first exposure, the key thing you want to see is can they get better? Can they fix the problem? He was having a problem with high fastballs early. There's been a couple of good stories out there just detailing how Holliday kind of and the Orioles worked on that. It's no longer a problem now. Great to see a guy who's able to make adjustments that quickly. But you look at Jackson Holliday graduating. James Wood has graduated now. We're looking at Junior Ken Manero's now up. That's our top three prospects in the game. All of them could graduate before the end of the year. And if that happens, you look at it and say, okay, well, who's next? And when it comes to the hitters, now Jackson Jobe is, I think, pretty clearly the top pitcher, but man, it's hard to put a pitcher number one on a offseason top 100 nowadays. And if you take that away, there's no minor league top 25 type prospect who's having that, hey, I'm grabbing the ring type number, I'm going to be the number one prospect type season, like Junior Caminero did last year, like Jackson Holliday did last year, what James Wood kind of started to do last year and then really did start first half of this year. We don't have that going on in the minors right now. So if that's the case, I think it does kind of open it up for, we'll see what a Charlie Condon does or what a Travis Bezzana does or what even a Christian Moore does, but it kind of opens up for this draft class. If someone has what I would describe as kind of a Wyatt Langford type finish to this season, because Langford destroyed basically multiple levels last year, and you go, whoa, well, you know, check out this. If that happens this year, I could see the argument, at least for the possibility that a guy who was drafted this year could end up being our number one prospect going into next year, because it's really a little tougher right now to point to the guy who has a little bit more track record, who's having kind of who you're comfortable saying, oh, that's the clear number one. Not trying to knock on Dylan Cruz, but Dylan Cruz isn't having, he's having a good season, but he's not having a, oh, that's the number one prospect in baseball type season.
Yeah, I think JJ makes a good point. There's not one hitter right now who, you know, obviously, you know, we assume Holliday and probably Caminero, those guys are going to graduate, who's really a especially position player who's going to be an obvious number one prospect just by the end of the year this year. You know, there's certainly guys who, you know, we think maybe could make that jump next year, like a Walker Jenkins, maybe an Ethan Salas with the Padres turns things around. I think Max Clark with the Tigers has that kind of upside. Maybe Colt Emerson with the Mariners has a, I wouldn't say a breakout season, but it breaks into maybe even another level, another tier. But yeah, there's not that like obvious number one guy like we had with, you know, with Jackson Holliday at this time, at this time last year.
Hey, let's go to some other, you know, top end prospects that are high up on the list. I don't think they're going to necessarily be number one, but I don't want to finish the show without getting to the big three for the Red Sox moving up the ladder. And JJ, I think it's cool to have three players move, you know, together through the minor leagues, and they're saying, hey, you guys are next, but we're not relying on you three, you know, one of you alone to get this done. Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, and Marcelo Meyer. They've got something special brewing.
They do have something special brewing there. And if you're a regular hot sheet watcher, you may say, wait a second, is it the big three or is it the big four? Because Christian Campbell didn't make the jump with them, but obviously he's kind of emerged and put himself at least in that discussion as well. But no, like you look at what the Red Sox have here, this is to see a core like this who kind of comes up together, who's also really, you know, kind of all of them performing as well. It is pretty exciting. And it's going to be interesting to see how quickly those ETAs are, but I would have to imagine it may not be opening day 2025, but it's kind of hard to imagine that we're not going to see all three of those at some point next year.
Yeah. And then one more for you. Let's get, yes, Kevin saying happy Red Sox big three AAA debut day. One more for you. This is from Justin, who's a regular in our FT chat as well. Big White Sox fan looking for, you know, some talent on the way. So Justin asking about Tim Elko, could he get called up with the Sox in September? Thoughts on, you know, what the White Sox could get an early look at in September here for the future?
I would kind of hope so, just it'd be kind of cool to see Tim Elko. Tim Elko was a guy who is a Ole Miss legend, kind of came back, if I remember correctly, played at one point without, you know, without a working ACL to just kind of keep everything going. Like Elko was a Rebel legend who I don't think will have to buy a beer in anywhere in the Oxford area for many, many years to come. And it really kind of depends on, you know, 40-man roster kind of situations and all, but this is the White Sox. I would think that there's a chance at least. Now, unfortunately, the changes to the 40-man, you know, roster rules and now it being 20, you know, not being the full expanded 40-man rosters like it used to be makes it a little tougher, but hey, this is Chicago. There's some roster room here to where maybe we can see a guy like Elko get that nice call up. And that doesn't mean like, oh, that's the only time he's ever going to be up, but to get that kind of a shot to see what he can do as kind of a, you know, it's going to be a bat first kind of profile, but let's see, maybe we get to see Tim Elko in September.
There you go. And thank you everyone for the questions, both for Condon and for JJ and Ben. It was a good show. Great to get Charlie Condon on the show and go through Junior Caminero and Zebby Matthews. So there was a lot here. So if you missed anything, this is posted on the Baseball America podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever. It's obviously up here on YouTube on demand. Anytime you want to check it out, tell your friends. 3 o'clock Eastern time. It's after foul territory. We take FT fans right over to the BA YouTube channel and get yourself a Baseball America subscription. Have fun watching Junior and Zebby and all the debuts coming up. And we'll see you next week on Hot Sheet.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.